Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have Emma Roman here. It's her second guest appearance. She was previously on episode 65. Today, though, we're going to talk all about plastic. So, you know, why is plastic harmful? Are the alternatives any better? How can we reduce our exposure at home? And also, what can we do to swap out products? So welcome back, Emma.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm happy to be here.
I'll give people a little bit of your background. So Emma Roman is an environmental engineer, mom of two, and founder of Green at Home and the Healthy Home Method. With over a decade of experience as an accredited green building consultant and project manager, she now helps moms and moms-to-be reduce toxins at home without overwhelm, without a lifestyle overhaul, or spending time and money on stuff that doesn't work. Her online guides, courses, and personalized programs blend the science with the practical application needed to help drive healthy changes in our busy lives. Emma is a trained David Suzuki Foundation Queen of Green coach, a guest lecturer at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, and holds a certificate in environmental health from the University of Arizona. You can learn more from Emma on her podcast, The Missing Pillar of Health podcast, and at greenathome.ca. So I only imagine going through your training, how overwhelming was it to hear about all the harmful effects of plastics and toxins on the body? How was that for you?
It was a journey for sure. I think because I was a bit of a early adopter and I was able to take in information slowly. So it was okay in the beginning. When I had my kids, that's when it really became overwhelming because there were so many more sources of these chemicals and toxins in our home being introduced with children. And I just, my awareness definitely increased. So I've gone through ups and downs of completely freaking out and then kind of coaching myself out of it.
Yeah, I guess we were exposed to some things that maybe we wouldn't expose our kids to now, right? And for the most part, I think we turned out well, but I think it's important. This is like pretty, these things can have really harmful effects, right? And we're going to talk specifically about plastics today because it's ubiquitous with kids' toys, with packaging for food, body care products. So are we ready to dive in? And everybody take a deep breath. We're not doing this to overwhelm you. This is just to empower you with some knowledge that you can take home and apply at your pace, right? Right, Emma?
Absolutely. Let's okay. Do it.
So what are some of the harmful effects of plastic on us, on our kids, and on the environment?
So let's start with environmental impacts, and then we'll talk about health because I think that will be the focus. But I think the environmental impacts, people are starting to become more aware of, and it dovetails into our health because microplastics pollution has become a serious topic of conversation and a problem for us and the planet. So the plastics have their time and place. And I think it's really easy to vilify plastics and say we should abolish them 100%. But there have been some positives to come out of plastics. You know, they're lighter, which means transportation emissions can be lower, and they have made certain medical practices possible where they weren't before. So I think it's important to have a conversation recognizing that there are benefits. However, we've become a little obsessed with plastic, and this has meant that our oceans are polluted to the point where microplastics are now everywhere. So microplastics are as you would expect by the word, microscopic pieces of plastic that don't get filtered out, that end up in bodies of aquatic life and inside our water. So we're eating them, we're drinking them, and these get in the water from manufacture, but also disposal of plastics. You know, we like to think that, oh, we're putting everything in the recycling bin, they're all getting reused, we're doing our part, but we know that recycling isn't a 100% solid solution. And so we are ending up with things like the garbage patch in the ocean, and plastics do not degrade. So that is one of the most concerning properties of plastic, and why we need to be a bit more judicious in how we are using and disposing of plastic. When it comes to our health, thanks for letting me sidebar on the environmental issue there, because I do think that it's important that we consider all aspects. But when it comes to our health, different plastics are made in different ways. And there are two chemicals that I think have gotten the most attention and research around them, and that's BPA and phthalates. BPA kind of took the world by storm back when it was found in Nalgene water bottles. And ever since then, the research has been mounting. And the more we study BPA, the more links to different health harms we find. So BPA has been shown to be estrogenic. So it's a hormone disruptor. It's been shown to affect the immune system because it acts like estrogen in the body. It can affect fetal development. It can affect sperm function. It can affect fertility. It's pretty wide ranging, and BPA is found in hard plastics typically. The other one that I mentioned are phthalates, and phthalates are the opposite. They're found in soft plastics, and studies have shown, again, a wide range of effects. Phthalates are also hormone disruptors, and why phthalates are concerning is because they don't bind to the material that they're used in. So phthalates are used in a whole bunch of different products, but specific to plastics and kind of food products that we would be ingesting, phthalates can end up migrating from the packaging that they're used in into the food it's being stored in, because they are not bound to that plastic packaging. And so studies have found higher concentrations in women with endometriosis than without. They have been found in just about all of us. And one of the arguments against being concerned about phthalates is that they're actually quickly metabolized out of our bodies, which is a good thing. However, because we're exposed from so many different sources, they're in us almost constantly. So they're linked with birth defects, obesity, diabetes, thyroid issues. They're also associated with asthma and allergies and behavioral issues in kids whose moms tested positive for phthalates while pregnant. So again, with hormone disruptors, the effects are quite broad. And because our exposure is broad as well, the more we can do to reduce our exposure that is in our control, the better.
Mm-hmm. So it can be widespread, the effects. Yeah, hormones, reproduction, fertility, allergies, asthma. So yeah, it's pretty shocking. It's good to hear that they don't stay too long in the body. But yeah, like the sources were exposed one after the other, right? And with the products, with the BPA and the phthalates, so can we talk a little bit, so it leaches into, you know, your drink, your water from the water bottle, into your food from the lining of cans. Like, are there other routes too that we get it through? Skin, through inhalation? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Sure. So phthalates, because they're also used in building materials. So PVC, for example, or vinyl flooring, they can emit, not a VOC, but the particulates that kind of degrade over time contain phthalates too. So household dust has actually been found to contain phthalates, which we then breathe in. Phthalates are also found in synthetic fragrance used in cleaning products as well as skincare. So breathing it in there and absorbing it through our skin. So the routes of exposure again are varied. With BPA, yes, and you mentioned it's also used in can lining. So the rate with which it gets absorbed into the food varies. It's higher in foods that are fatty. So if you're using, and we'll talk about kind of some strategies later on, but one example would be to reduce, you know, coconut oil, which is a fat. And so prioritizing that in glass containers, for example, as opposed to plastic that contains BPA.
Oh, I didn't think about that one. Yeah.
And then cans, acidic foods as well. So tomatoes, the reason that you see more jarred organic tomatoes is because it's very difficult to store the acidic tomato products in BPA-free linings that are usually more of a natural compound that don't stand up as well to the acidity. And so that's where jarred tomatoes can come in handy. BPA is also used in receipt paper linings. This is being phased out more and more because of efforts of environmental and health advocacy groups that are encouraging large retail chains to get rid of them, which I think means that pretty much all receipt paper, I suspect, is going to become BPA free soon. But studies did show that, and the studies, I use the term study loosely because it was, you know, I forget how many people sitting around a table holding different receipts for 15 minutes and testing their blood levels before and after, but it did show a noticeable increase of BPA just from holding receipts. So it is getting absorbed through the skin in that context as well.
I know, it's really shocking, right? I remember hearing that it was in the receipts. And as I was doing my, you know, bookkeeping for the end of the year, I was going through all these receipts and like, oh no, I'm getting exposed. I feel bad for the accountants. But yeah, the sources can be really shocking and widespread. And I see they're making a lot of things out of recycled plastics, right? I think even some clothing and toilet paper. Like, do you feel, is that going to be harmful for us too, those other usages for recycled BPA products?
Yeah, you see that a lot in clothing where they call it an eco fabric because it's made with polyester or fleece or whatever that is made from recycled pop bottles. And I mean, on one hand, it's good because it's recycling and you feel good about doing something that's green. On the other hand, we are seeing the microplastics contribution from laundry and effluent going into from the water treatment plants because they are not capable of removing these microplastics. And so in terms of dermal exposure and absorption, I haven't seen any research to suggest that these chemicals are leaching into us from clothing. There are other chemicals from clothing that we should be concerned about. I'm not sure about the plastics level. I just haven't seen the research around it. But again, environmentally, it ends up in our water, which we then drink. So it's kind of tangentially related to health, even if the absorption levels aren't concerning.
Oh, geez, we could have the best intentions, but be adding to the problem again. So you're going to help us navigate all of this because it can be overwhelming, right?
Totally.
And you touched on the testing. So is it usually through the blood that levels are tested? And are you seeing more and more people get tested to see their exposures?
Not like a matter of course testing. Through the research, you know, they test depending on how the chemical acts in the body. It'll be either blood or urine. But I'm not seeing regular testing of people just, you know, going to their naturopath and getting a panel of things to find out what's in them. And I don't know that we necessarily need that for some of these. I mean, yes, things like heavy metals, we want to know what's going on. I think the research that has been done globally and in North America, we know that these chemicals are in us and we know that they're in our homes. And so we should be reducing our exposure wherever possible. We don't necessarily have to be going into detailed body burden testing for the entire population because we know that it's in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume, you know, all my patients are exposed and then through, you know, health history questionnaire and exposure questionnaire, I can get a sense, and I'm sure you do that with your clients and go even more in depth with that. So it's like, how can we minimize and prevent that exposure, which we're going to get into too. So we see now a lot with kids, bottles and products, you know, it's BPA free, but it's still some sort of plastic, is like BPS or something else. What is the safety of those alternatives to BPA?
Great question, because these, you know, with the awareness that some of these chemicals are problematic comes the marketing. And a lot of the marketing, unfortunately, is greenwashing because, and I don't like talking about this because I don't want to vilify industry unnecessarily. However, the chemical industry is very good at staying on top of problems and having a solution quite quickly. And these solutions aren't necessarily with our best health interest in mind. So when the problems around BPA became known and the research came out, there became restrictions on what could be used in things like baby bottles and what children are putting in their mouths, because children are most impacted by these because of their developmental milestones and systems still evolving. And so then they came out with alternatives. And so they could put BPA-free on a bottle, for example. We see it on water bottles, we see it on food packaging all over the place because that's what the public became aware of. However, our regulations and monitoring are going based on individual chemicals. And so BPA is one type of a class of chemical called bisphenols. So it's bisphenol A is what the BPA stands for. And when BPA became banned or just public awareness made it so that we wanted to make sure it wasn't in our products, often it was replaced with BPS or BPF, which are other bisphenols in this class. But because bisphenol as a class wasn't identified, you could put BPA free on the bottle and still have BPS or BPF. And then the research catches up to what the chemical industry has replaced with. And this is the playbook that we've seen over and over and over again. And sure enough, BPS and BPF and other bisphenols show similar and in some cases worse hormone disrupting properties as BPA.
Oh, geez.
So we really need to be aware and be able to ask the questions of manufacturers and kind of push back and say, but is it bisphenol free? Because that's really what we want to be going for, or avoiding hard plastics altogether where you have the option. And when we get into solutions, I'll talk about ways. I don't pretend to be plastic free. My house is not plastic free. I have plastic containers in my kitchen. There are ways to use it in a safer way. But I do think that we should be calling out the companies that are using these greenwashing tactics, thinking that we're meeting whatever our goals are, but they're just kind of pulling the wool over our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really sneaky and disturbing. So yeah, I have to say we do have plastics in our house too. We're trying to swap out as, you know, many options as possible for food containers and the likes, but we still have some and we'll talk about, I want to hear about the safe ways to use them. Tony wanted me to ask the co-host, what about Zevia cans? She thinks there's some BPA or BPS lining them. So that's like the stevia sweetened pop, if you will. She's wondering if she needs to get a soda stream. Would that be leaching out any chemicals, do you think?
I don't know that specific brand. If their cans are lined with BPA, that's something that you'd have to ask them.
Yeah.
It's funny. I just finished recording a podcast episode for my show on carbonated water and a study done on PFAS chemicals. And so I talk at that episode, which will air in November, that I think we need to get over our addiction to single-use canned beverages. It's like we acknowledge that single-use bottled water is not great, and a lot of us have avoided or reduced that. But with the onslaught of like bubbly and all of these drinks, it's like we've forgotten what we learned about single-use plastic water bottles, and now we're just replacing it with cans. So regardless of whether the cans are lined with BPA, I don't think they are. The beverage containers don't tend to be, but I would ask the question. But regardless, I would suggest a soda stream anyways for... Mm-hmm. You can control the water quality if you have a water filter, for example, and the flavors in a lot of these beverages don't have to disclose all of the ingredients. So you can add your own kind of healthier, or at least you know what's going in it. So I'm a big proponent for the SodaStream and making your own.
That's a good point. It does seem it's not as vilified. It seems a bit more acceptable to have, you know, canned beer, canned pop, even canned, you know, natural drinks or energy drinks. But we need to step back and look at that as well. And then what are the PFAS chemicals? I'm sorry, I'm not aware.
Yeah, so those are per and polyfluoroalkyl substances. It's what is used to make Teflon and stain repellent and waterproofing, and it's a serious water contamination problem. And the Consumer Reports study found concentrations in carbonated water packaged products.
Oh, geez. And where is that coming from then in the water, in the carbonated
water? Yeah, so
water?
It's a contaminant from the manufacturing process of all of these products. It's also used in firefighting foam. And so around the US, it's a major problem, particularly around military bases. And because industry has not been held to account for their effluent, it's ended up as discharge waste from manufacturing facilities. And this was the subject of the movies Dark Waters was a film with Mark Ruffalo, or The Devil We Know is the documentary version about the Teflon plant and how it poisoned downstream residents. And so that kind of begins the PFAS story. And we're just starting to see the implications.
Oh, geez. So we'll have to check out your November episode of the Missing Pillar of Health podcast. And then those two movies will put some information in the show notes about that too. So thank you for sharing. It's like one topic brings up a whole other kettle of worms, can of worms. Actually, it's not kettle of worms.
I should have. Unintended.
Exactly. But yeah, at least there, so I know there's some brands of canned like chickpeas and things. And again, you know, ideally you're buying in bulk and not having these smaller serving sizes, but the Eden Organics, I think, is a non-BPA BPS lining. So hopefully that's a better alternative.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's easy for people to say, oh, just buy dried beans in bulk, but like, not a lot of people are willing to put in the time to soak them and cook them. So I get it. It's a lot more convenient to eat stuff in cans. But yes, so looking for brands that do not use bisphenol linings, there are a couple of them. They're most likely found in the organic section. And like I mentioned, for tomatoes, choosing those in jars where possible. They do tend to come at a cost premium, so it's something that you're going to have to evaluate depending on how much you eat. But again, depending on how much you eat will also affect your exposure risk. So there's going to be a cost benefit that folks need to make for sure.
That's a good way to put it. It's like an investment. You're preventing some of these issues because I guess, yeah, we don't know the specific dose or accumulation, right? Because everybody detoxifies differently, but we know these substances can contribute to a lot of the health problems that are becoming prevalent across, you know, across our world. So we want to reduce those exposures as much as possible. And you mentioned, yes, so the jarred tomatoes is a good thing to switch to if you're not already doing that, getting coconut oil in a glass jar. Is there anything else that you feel is good to start to swap out if you had to pick the top few that are, you know, the worst for us for exposures?
Yeah. So the other piece is reheating food in plastic. So like I mentioned, there are ways to use plastic kind of better. So if you've got hard plastic food containers in your home, for example, and you're reheating leftovers, put the leftovers in a bowl or on a plate to heat it up, and don't store food. Like, don't take food that's hot and dump it automatically into a plastic food storage container, because heat also increases the leaching of different chemicals from the plastic. So heating properly. Sorry, I got sidebar.
No worries.
No worries. And plastic food wrap is also another one that you can look for alternatives to if you're storing a lot of food in soft plastic. I think we get exposed to plastic ingredients a lot with just packaged food in general, which is hard to avoid, like cheeses, for example. Like, these things just come wrapped in plastic, unless you're going to go to a cheesemonger and bring your own container and be uber green. Most of us are going to have some plastic exposure just from the grocery store. So where you can limit your personal use of like cling wrap, using things like glass containers or beeswax wraps instead of cling wrap is another way to reduce your plastic use in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. No, those are all great suggestions. Yeah, we have the beeswax wrap. Sometimes they get a little sticky. Maybe we wash them in warm water a little too much, so they kind of melt a little bit. But there are good alternates, and even silicone bags. But I'm sure you're going to go through all that too. But those are some great things to start with, especially the plastic wrap. And we don't even think about cheese wrapped in plastic, right? Because it's just a given. But do you ever go and bring your own, you know, containers for takeout or to a cheesemonger? Or have you gone to those levels of you know, prevention?
In my mind, yes, I am that perfect low waste person, but in reality, no.
With kids and a family.
I am getting my cheese from the refrigerator in the grocery store.
That's right.
So
me too.
You know, I have before we moved, I did have a local butcher that I would take containers to get meat in, and they were quite accommodating there. And now we get our stuff from a local farmer, and it's, you know, wrapped in plastic, but it comes from a local farmer very short distance. So there's like trade-offs for everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And it shocks me too, just looking on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, our dentist recommended for our son Stuart, who's 4.5, those little single disposal flossing things. Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so much plastic, like every single day. And then all the kids' snacks, right? And we really try not to do juice boxes. He'll get one once in a while. But it adds up so quickly, right? Do you have an alternate? Like, I know they have those like plastic juice boxes that you can fill it up with regular juice. Do you have a favorite replacement instead of juice boxes? Like, what could they, it kind of looks like a juice box, but it's reusable.
No, my kids just get water bottles.
Yes.
And, you know, at the first chance they get at friends' houses or birthday parties or whatever. Well, my son actually doesn't like juice, period. So that's fine. My daughter likes it, and you know, we get juice every now and then here in the Tetra packs, like the non-single serve size. But the first chance that she gets to drink from a juice box, she does. And I'm pretty open with my kids about why we don't do certain things. Like, she's almost 10. And so she's been aware for a few years that we do things a little bit differently than a lot of families. And sometimes she'll grumble at me and wish that, you know, we could just be normal. But I explained to her why we don't. And my kids are both quite compassionate about environmental issues. And so sometimes I just distill it down to, well, it's bad for the polar bears, and they kind of get on board pretty quickly. But I'm also bringing into the conversation, you know, that there are chemicals and things that are not good for their bodies, and what it can do, and why I'm trying to protect them from it wherever possible, and that little bits are okay, but here's why we're not buying XYZ. And they may still be frustrated with me, but I really want to empower them with the knowledge so that when they go and leave the house as they get older, they can make informed decisions too. And look, my daughter may live off of juice boxes when she can buy her own.
I don't know.
Yeah. But she'll know why we're doing it. And it's not like if she goes to drink a juice box from somebody's house, it's not like I go and take it away from her. I give her those things, but I personally don't buy them. So that was a big tangent from what do we use for reusable ones. I don't know, because yeah, I don't do it. And I think, you know, same with lunches with single serve yogurt tubs and cheese strings and all of these really easy snacks that a lot of marketers say, you know, put in their lunch because it's easy. You know, if I'm sending my kids with yogurt, I have a handful of containers that have screw tops that seal, and I put yogurt in and I send them with a spoon, and it's a metal container, and I just do that. So I think rethinking the idea of single use, single serving packages can go a long way to reducing plastic without really disrupting your routine. Mm-hmm. So even snacks, like if you're not, you know, home making all of your kids' snacks, opting for something that has, you know, a box of cookies or granola balls or something that are loose packaged that you can then put into a snack pouch. There are lots of really great cloth snack pouches. They are lined with a plastic, but it's a safer plastic that doesn't leach. So for the snack use, I'm not too worried about it, but it keeps it from getting too disgustingly dirty. Instead of using snack Ziploc bags, or instead of buying those prepackaged like individual serving sized packages, those sorts of decisions I think can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. Yeah, great options out there now. We've got, I don't know if they're, hopefully it's a good one. It's like the bumpkin. So it's like a little zipper snack pouch that Stuart likes. They don't really disclose what it's made of, but it says it's, you know, phthalate free and BPA free and all that, but it might be still not the best, but at least we're reducing usage of single serve plastics there too. And then we were sending him with a juice box every Friday, but he opted not to, he doesn't want to bring it anymore because when he sticks in the straw, it spills all over the place. So that solution is fixed on its own. So.
Well, in a lot of schools now, in Ontario anyways, they have an Eco Schools program. And so a lot of schools are really promoting litterless lunches. And so if you're going with things that end up going in the garbage, now you're the odd one out. So I think there's some great kind of institutional measures that can be done so that making the less wasteful choice is seen to be normal.
Definitely. I think that's important because kids, they thrive off the packaging, right? Like whatever, we were shopping yesterday and Stuart wanted to buy the toilet paper with the bear on it because it was more attractive to kids. He didn't want just like the no name or plain one. And that's the same thing with snacks, right? If it's in a package, you know, they may be more likely to eat it or think they're going to like it better. It's not always the case, but moving away from the packaging, and if they see other kids bringing things just in containers, that's really important to shift that thinking. making, and it still can be delicious and enjoyable too. And with Stuart buying his lunchbox, we had to get all his lunch stuff this year because his preschool provided lunches up until now. We were spoiled. I struggled with what containers to get because he's still so young. I didn't want to send him with glass. So I saw there was some, you know, some metal containers out there. I guess they're, if we're using plastic in a more safe way, that's better. But what are your options? What do you like for kids where, yeah, you don't want them to drop glass and for it to shatter all over the place?
Totally. So my go-to lunch containers are stainless steel. Mm-hmm. We have Lunch Bots brand, and we've had them since the kids started kindergarten, and they are now in grade 5 and grade 2. And so they're definitely more dented than they were when they started.
Yeah, with the stainless steel, right? That happens. Yeah,
but they still work perfectly well. And you can get fancier ones that are a bit more expensive that have totally sealed sections and whatnot. I just have a handful of, you know, they've got dividers in them, but they're not totally sealed. And then I've got a collection of smaller stainless steel screw top containers, like I mentioned, to put in things like hummus or yogurt or things that applesauce, stuff that's going to get that need to be sealed. And, you know, when the kids were younger, they didn't always put the lids back on very well. And so their lunch bags would come back covered in applesauce. And like, yeah, I dealt with that, but it really wasn't that much of a pain. And snack bags. And we do have some plastic containers, like I said, and I tend to use those more for dried snacks, the containers that I have are, you know, better. They're still plastic and they're not ideal. And when we run out of stuff, my focus is, as we run out of things, I will look for a non-plastic alternative. But I think just everyone throwing away what they have poses a different problem. So it's mostly a mix of the cloth snack bags. The stainless steel is our go-to. And I also have stainless steel thermoses. So if we want to send, you know, leftovers or soup or something, they've got a hot option as well. So there's lots of great options now that don't involve plastic, and they last longer. The stainless steel stuff, it's great. I haven't had to buy new lunch gear in years.
Great. Yeah, we got some stainless steel, and then we do still have some plastic that we're using, but we'll swap out as we go and need more containers. And then are those thermoses and stainless steel water bottles, are they pretty good then too? They don't have a lining in them?
Yeah, the, I'm trying to think, these thermoses, yeah, they don't have a lining. And the water bottles as well. So,
okay, great. Yeah. So we have some of those. And I love that you touched on the psychology, right? Explaining to kids why we're doing these things instead of like the proverbial, just cause I said so.
Yes.
You're really, getting them on board and showing that there are consequences to the choices we make with what we buy and what we put into our body. So we're trying to instill that in Stuart too. It's a work in progress, right? Because marketing is such a powerful thing. But
definitely. And it's a conversation that will evolve as they grow as well. I think there's almost more things you can get away with when they're younger. And then, as you know, my daughter's heading into the preteen years. So there's a whole other realm of discussion and, you know, wants socially and all of that. So it's definitely a work in progress, and I'm constantly learning how best to frame things. But I do think it's important to bring them on board. They're curious, and ultimately they're the ones who are going to have to deal with the impact of our decisions. And I think the better we can set them up with this knowledge now, then the better likelihood that they will make decisions that we hope they make going forward. I'm under no illusion that she will. I'll always make the decision that I want to make, but at least I can give her a strong foundation.
We can hope as parents, but we know we do our best. We give them the tools, and then how they use them is up to them. So exactly. I love that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And is there anything else that we can do to, you know, reduce plastic to avoid the harmful effects that we haven't touched on already?
I think it's important to look at what your lifestyle is, like do kind of a mini kitchen audit, because it's really easy to get wrapped up in the, oh, I'm going to go buy a whole bunch of beeswax wraps, or I'm going to go out and buy a whole bunch of silicone bags. But if you don't actually have a problem that those solve, then there's no point in just going out and buying. Just because a product is healthier or greener than conventional doesn't mean you have to buy it, right? So I know a lot of people really like beeswax wraps, for example. They do not work for me because I can't see what's in them and I end up with a whole bunch of rotten food. So that's just me and how I operate in my fridge. Lots of people love them. So I think it's really important to recognize what you actually need and not just jump on these recommendations, because just like, you know, conventional product manufacturers want you to buy. It's really easy to get caught up in the concept of buying plastic free or something, right? But you may not even need it. So I think just pausing and looking around your kitchen and seeing where you have the opportunity to reduce plastic in the first place and seeing how you can do that with what you already have. Like I mentioned, if you're microwaving leftovers in plastic, just put it on a plate. And some people are in a bowl, and some people ask what kind of bowl covers you can use. Honestly, just put a plate on top of the bowl. You don't necessarily need to buy some fancy solution. So yes, there are lots of really great products on the market to help you reduce plastic exposure, but think about what you actually need to solve before going out and filling your kitchen with a whole bunch of plastic-free solutions.
I love that. Yeah, because we can kind of panic and be like, I need this and this. And that's even, I see when patients come in and they're on so many different supplements, they're like, well, this one's supposed to help with my energy and this one's supposed to help with my sleep. But it's like, no, well, where is the concern in your life and the imbalance? And then let's hone in on that. You know, you can spend a ton of money, but I love stepping back and just seeing, you know, what's going to work for you. And what about parchment paper on top of food in the microwave? Any thoughts on that?
Good question. I don't know if parchment paper, I don't see why it wouldn't be microwavable. Yeah. I don't actually have a microwave. So
we use parchment paper. So I can look that up.
Yeah. I mean, it should be fine.
Yeah. I've used plate over a plate before, so that's probably even better, but yeah.
Yeah. Some parchment paper is lined with silicone. So it depends on the paper. I like the Because You Care. What's the brand?
I've never heard of that.
If You Care, it's kind of a, like, I don't love the brand name because it's a bit condescending.
Or like, I don't care at all. So I don't buy
that
one.
If you don't use this, you don't care. I get what they're trying to do. But anyways, it's like an unbleached parchment paper. So it's probably fine, but I don't see why there would be a contraindication for microwaving, because you can stick it in the oven without it melting.
True. Yeah. I'd like to say, we don't have a microwave and I never use it, but it is convenient for reheating. But I guess, you know, the little mini ovens are really good for that too, right? So
yeah,
they can heat up really quickly. But some really great suggestions there. So anything else before we can discuss how people can reach you and some of the services you offer?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, I think we did.
More than we had intended.
I think we did, right? So everybody take a deep breath and just focus on one thing, right?
Yeah.
So start with that. And then how can people reach you, and what are some of the services you offer to clients?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at Emma_green@home. And my website has a ton of resources, blogs, downloadable guides to help you reduce hormone disruptors throughout your home and more. And it's got my podcast is on there as well. And that's the Missing Pillar of Health podcast in all podcast apps. And my Facebook group, The Green Product Forum. and I have various guides to help you choose safer personal care and cleaning products. I have a prepping for pregnancy 6-week course for those who are trying to conceive or newly pregnant. And I have a membership that walks you through step by step how to reduce toxins in each room of your home in a way that isn't overwhelming and comes with support with me. And that's called the Healthy Home Collective.
Amazing. When did you launch that?
The collective has been around for a few years in various forms. But yeah, it's been around in this shape for about a year and a bit.
Nice. That sounds like a valuable resource. And you work together and go through room by room. So we'll definitely link to all your contact information and your website and services.
Thanks.
So we'll move now to the next part of the podcast where we talk about our super mom moment, our mama mess up, and our mama must have. So I can go first if you want. I can start with a mama mess up because it kind of dovetails into a super mom moment. But it's actually kind of fitting for what we talked about because so I was bringing Stuart to the zoo. I was meeting my sister and her boys. This was probably about a month and a half ago and made an elaborate lunch. Things were in glass containers. It was in this cooler in the trunk. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is going to be great because we're going to spend a lot of time at the zoo and we have some healthy food. So, you know, I left it in the car and we went into the zoo. And when the kids got hungry, we were deep in the zoo. My sister had a backpack with her two kids' food in there as well as with hers. And mine was in the car. Stuart and my lunch was in the car because it was like all these big, heavy containers and I couldn't carry it all day. So when it came time for lunch, Stuart was so hungry. I knew I just wasn't going to have time to go back and get the healthy lunch. So he ended up eating fries and a lollipop. And then we went back to the car and had some of our lunch at the end of the day. But I was like, oh, that's a mom fail. So the next time we went to the zoo, this is my super mom moment. I condensed the lunch, packed it in light containers and fit everything into the backpack so I could carry it around all day. So when it was time to eat, we had everything there. We didn't have to go to the car. So that was my mess up and my super mom moment.
That's amazing.
So she had the healthiest lunch and yeah, I can't believe we had French fries and lollipops. So anyway, what would you like to start with, your super mom moment or your mama mess up?
Oh man, I find these questions so hard.
And you can pick one. If you can only think of one, that's okay.
Didn't we go back to talking about plastics? No, sure. I'm kidding.
Or you could do your mama must have if you prefer to.
Okay, so my mama must have now, especially with the kids back in school and we have been getting them back into extracurriculars, I have been living and breathing by my calendar. And nice. So I don't get super fancy, and this has nothing to do with plastics, but I talked about all of my like lunch bag stuff already. So yeah, I invite my husband to everything that I put in my calendar for personal things, like the kids have activities or if I need to go out or something. And if it's not in the calendar, it just doesn't happen. So this dovetails nicely to a mama mess up.
Great.
With all of the extracurriculars, it's a big rush after school now. I don't know if you've been adding into your schedule or not, but
no, we don't. So it's playground time after school. So we have it pretty easy. He's pretty content with that still. So
So we're doing swimming lessons and our school also changed when the school ends. And so our school ends 20 minutes later than it used to. And so getting to things on time is a problem. And my son does not like to be rushed. So I ended up practically dragging him on his bike so that I could take my daughter to swimming lessons. And then I just let him to tantrum outside while he took her into the pool.
You do what you gotta do. Yeah.
Let him just do his thing at the bike rack. And I tried to be patient and calm, but you know what? It's hard when there's two of them and they have different ideas of what needs to happen. But this is also where the cloth bags for snacks come in super handy because I can So food for him is a big trigger too. Like he needs to eat all the time. And so what's great about those cloth snack bags is you can just like shove them in a pocket. They don't take up a lot of real estate. And so mm-hmm. kind of shove that in there and let him munch on something to calm down. And then he and I had some time while my daughter was in her lesson to regroup. So
okay. So it worked out in the end, but it was yeah. Yeah, a little bit stressful. And I love, yeah, the calendar too. That's so key for just organizing everything and communicating it with your spouse, with your partner. So that's a really good mama must have. Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to share about super mom, or it turned into a super mom, but
yeah, I think that covers all of it.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Yeah. And then my mama must have, well, I was going to mention, yeah, the Stasher reusable bags. I like those bumpkin ones too. And putting like plant Tane chips, and Stuart really likes, they're called, is it tiger nut? No, it's fox nuts. They're puffed fox nuts. You can get them like from the big carrot. So they're in like a chip bag, and he really likes those. So it's like a salty, crunchy snack. So we stick that in there. And then my other must have recently has been a kite. So when it's been pretty windy, we just head over to the park, and it's a good like 45 minutes of him running around and burning off some energy. So just something fun to play with the kids. So, but thank you for sharing. We'll post all of your information, and thank you everybody for joining us today. You can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Perimenopausal Mamas. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone. And thanks again, Emma, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye, everyone.